All right. If you've got your Bible, go to the book of Proverbs. Now, in this room, there are people that are just getting started in their Bible study. So you may not know where Proverbs is, so go to the very middle of your Bible. Just open your Bible right in the middle. If you get your Bible open to the middle, you're probably in the book of Psalms. And then if you'll turn one book to the right, you'll be in Proverbs. So, now, we've got our children with us this morning on this side. I didn't make that mess.
I know, but I thought you were going to sit in it.
Okay. Thank you, dear. Anyway, we've got our children in here. Usually our children are in Bible classes next door. But since it's August and we're trying to give our teachers a break, this is their summer vacation time, so we're glad to have our kids in here. And part of what we're going to do in here today is going to be stuff that I think will even be good for them. All right? All right, you got Proverbs? All right, just leave it open to Proverbs, and let me catch you up to speed. If you're new, if this is your first time here, you don't have to answer any of these questions. I'm going to have our folks that are, I started to say normal, but we don't have normal people here. We're going to have our other folks here. We're going to review so we can catch everybody up to speed. All right, now, every year for the last 7-8 years, during the summer, the group of people that meet here, we decided that we would go back every summer and read the Proverbs to seek God's wisdom. The reason we decided we'd seek God's wisdom is, and I'll let anybody else fill in the blank, the reason I think I need to every day, but especially every summer, need to go back and seek God's wisdom is why. I'm sorry? Well, I don't want to fall back in the same stuff that got me in the same mess before. What'd you say, Melissa? I don't want to lose my way again. Keep going. Why do you think you need it? Why do you need to go back to Proverbs?
I want to make better decisions.
Make better decisions. Anybody else?
And
Candy said it nice. My own wisdom is not sufficient. Put it in your words. Yeah, Zane may have put it right. I'm stupid. Yeah. And I wouldn't say it about you, but I could sure say it about me. I made some decisions that messed me up. And it didn't just mess me up. It messed my family up. It messed people I love up. I mean, it made a major mess of stuff. So what do? Well, you got to rebuild. Okay? Now, in our effort to seek God's wisdom, we've looked for all kinds of different ways. All kinds of different ways to seek God's wisdom. Well, here's what we did this summer. Every Sunday, for the last several Sundays, we've tried to look at our life like it's a wheel, okay? Now, in that wheel, you want to find balance. Because if it's your tire on your car, you want that tire fully inflated and you want it in balance. All right. Now you'll notice I draw a circle that's a perfect circle, and not many people can do that. All right? Aaron, did you laugh? I thought that was you. All right. Now, those of you who have been here before, those of you who've eaten a donut or two donuts, that makes you a member. I want you to tell me what is the number one relationship in your life, what is the number one area of anybody's life that is the easiest to restore, the easiest to rebuild? It's your relationship with God. Now, why is your relationship with God easier to rebuild than any other? Because He always wants you back, and He's always willing to forgive us, and He never changes, and He loves us. I mean, all of those things are why this, and I see it. I see it in my counseling. I see it in our discussions in here. You want to rebuild your life? You can spend lots of time talking about your relationships. You can talk about your husband. You can talk about your wife. You can talk about your kids. You can talk about your parents. You can talk about your ex-boyfriend or your ex-girlfriend. You can talk about your boss. You can talk about your employees. You can talk about your past mistakes or your future fears. You can talk about all of those things. But until you get this one handled first, all the others are going to keep shifting. God is the first one to start with if you're going to get your life in balance. Now, on the flip side of that, the one that is the most difficult to get in balance is? It's yourself. Now, why is it this one the most difficult? I'm sorry because I'm stupid. All right, Zane, thanks. Zane gave us the theme for the day. When I point to self, just everybody say, I'm stupid. Oh, that wasn't worth anything. Let's try it again. No. Everybody together. Now, I want you to know that was recorded. And this whole church is on tape is saying, I'm stupid. You notice I didn't say anything at that point. Yeah. Because it's already true. They already know the truth about me. All right, now, we look, the number one, the relationship that is the most prominent past God, after God, the relationship that has the most effect on your life. It's your parents. It's your family. All right? And that's the one that's here. Now, as a reaction to that, on the opposite end of that spectrum is your relationship with your friends. And you and I know that sometimes if we get, our family can call, pull us in and it pulls us away from friends, or we get involved, too involved with friends and it pulls us away from family. We need balance in that area. All right, then we also talked about just our actions, the things that we're supposed to do, the things that we get up every morning with that to-do list. It's the things that we see. I wake up in the morning, I get dressed, I go to work, I pay my bills, I do the things that I have to do. If I'm not doing that, my life can get out of balance. Now, on the opposite end of that, stuff that takes place on the inside would be reactions. And folks, honest. This action one, we got folks in here that need to work on that. There are folks in here that need to work on that and making sure that you're taking care of your responsibilities. Because you can fuss, cuss, discuss about what everybody else is doing about everything else, and you can solve all the problems of everybody else in the world and you not taking care of your own business? Uh-uh. You want to make things stable in your life. You want to bring some peace to your life. You make sure you handle your responsibilities first before you start meddling anybody else's. But on the flip side, we know what we're supposed to do. Give us a multiple choice question about a test about how to live our lives. A, B, C, or D, and we'll nail it. We know the answers. We know them. We've been raised that way. We've gone to church. Somebody taught us. We've seen it on TV. We figure we know what we're supposed to do. My problem is not what my actions are. My problem is how I react. Because then I don't take time to think. I just do. I just react. I have input. It's like when you lay your hand down on a hot stove and you don't know it's hot. What do? Oh my. That is an interesting feeling of pain. Yes. And the smell of burning flesh is, that's not, what do you do immediately? Yeah! And then you jerk back, hit yourself in the mouth. Anytime you react, you tend to overreact. So we got to talk about reactions to things like guilt and fear and anger. Now that's what we did was we did this. We looked at it and said, all right, how's your relationship with God? I'll tell you about a lady that I was counseling this week. And you don't know her. She didn't come here. I'd never tell you who it was. But her relationship with God is not good at all. Her relationship with her family, she feels pretty strong. But she has some friends that are not good for her. Her actions are very good. She's very strong in those. She does what she's supposed to do. But when she gets mad or she gets disappointed or she gets frustrated, man, she does not handle it well. All right? Well, when you got all of this involved, it's true of everybody sitting in here. Some of us have a longer list of it than others. We have a thing from our past. We've got to do something to deal with past mistakes, either what we've done or what somebody's done to us. And then that, the opposite of that would be future. And we'll talk about those now. But I asked this lady, I said, how do you feel about your past? I mean, I think she's 22, 23 years old. I said, how do you feel about your past? What grade would you give yourself? And she said, well, right now, and because she's going through a tough time, she said, I'd give myself about a 4. Between 1 and 10, she'd said 4. I said, but how do you feel about your future? And because she was a positive, upbeat, optimistic kind of kid, she said, oh, I feel like it's about a 9. All right. Now look at that wheel. Connect the dots. Oop, I forgot self. She felt really bad about herself. So let's go here, 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 here. All right, now if that's the wheel on your car, how does it ride? It rides rough if you can get it to ride at all, right? But none of us ride at 20 miles an hour. We don't drive that way. I've seen you. I saw that Van Zimmerzin jump the curb out here, man. Where are you? There you are. That was Esther. All right. All right. You drive like we do, and you live like we do, and you live your life that fast and furious with that kind of balance, what happens? It gets out of control. You have a wreck. Now in this room, starting with me, are people who have made horrible decisions, done terrible things, and caused monstrous trouble for themselves and for their family. Starts with me. I let my life get out of balance and I wrecked. I crashed and I burned. That's when I decided I needed God's help to help me rebuild my life and try to put it back in balance. People sitting in this room are at that place. Some of us have been rebuilding our lives for a while. Some of us have just started rebuilding our lives. And some of us have yet not decided, hey, you know what? The way I'm living right now is not the way I should live. There's some of you still out there making a mess of things. So here's how we do it. We got to let God help us put our lives in balance. Now, we won't restudy everything, but we're going to focus on these two areas today. Past and future. Now, with every one of these, we've talked about it, there's always a positive or there's always a negative. There's a positive side of something, there's a negative side of something. Real quick, the worst thing that ever happened in your past, let me hear it. Now, this is the easy exercise, real easy. Worst thing that ever happened in your life. Lost your parents. What's the worst thing that ever happened in your life?
I lost my daughter was my worst thing, and then
anything
right after that would be
ordinary. All right. Lost my daughter. Went to prison. Worst thing that ever happened in your life? Molested. What's the worst thing that ever happened in your life? Lost a grandson. Now we're going to talk more about those because if this is your first time here, when we talk about these things, it's not theory, y'all. We're not talking theology. This is not church house presentation. That's us dealing with our real life stuff. Now, what's the best thing that ever happened? We're going to come back and talk about those others where there's pain because we've got to let that out so we can breathe that out so we can breathe the good stuff in. Tell me the best thing that ever happened in your life. And if you're married and you're sitting next to your mate, there you go. There you go. Yeah. There you go. See, there's a benefit to this kind of thing. Yeah. See, it works out good. I don't know. Listen, are you going to buy Ruby's lunch if she says that Rick, Baron, Rick? Okay. Oh, Rick. Okay. Well, sorry. I thought I was trying to get Lynn to buy your lunch. Okay. What's the best thing? And you can't say marrying your wife or you can't say marrying your husband. What's the best thing that ever happened in your life? Your kids. God gave you a second chance. And in my case, it was more than a second, wasn't it? And it's true for all of us. It was a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, twelfth chance, right? Best thing that ever happened to you? clean and sober. Best thing that ever happened to you. Mom and dad got sober. Best thing that ever happened to you.
I lived.
Excellent. Now, that's what we deal with in our past. We deal with some very positive things in our past, but we also have some very negative things. I need us to talk about the negative things because those are the ones that tend, well, they're the ones that tend to hold us back from becoming what God wants us to be. Does that make sense? One more time. I don't think you caught it. Why do we want to deal with the negative things that happened in our past? Because those are the ones that where we dwell. We stay there. I thank God for my kids. But I don't sit around. I don't keep myself away from God because of my kids. I celebrate that. I thank you, God, for my kids. I got clean and sober, good. I thank God for my sobriety. Then we're moving toward God. It's negative things that keep us away from God because we either hide because of our guilt or because of our anger. So we're going to adjust the positive and negative to this. These are things that we do. These are things that others have done to us. Now we've heard both of those. Both sets, we've seen both sets in what was mentioned already, and we're going to go back to it to illustrate it. Those of us who said, I messed up in my past. It was what I did. It's not what somebody else did. That'd be where I would have to say. I did wrong. I broke my vows to my wife. I did shameful things. And I hurt my family. I hurt my friends. I damaged my life. I did that. Don't blame it on anybody else. Won't blame it on anybody else. Not going to blame it on anybody else because I did that. But others of us sitting in here, and we just heard it, some of us had things done to us that still have an influence on our past and how we view our past. We already heard it. Molested. But tell me some other things. Some other things from your past, whether you did it or somebody did it to you. You did it, or somebody else did it to you. Things from your past. It's never any fun to talk about this, but to say it out loud, there's a blessing from God, so we're going to make sure you heard it. Ruby said she cheated on a good man too many times. That's something like my past that she has to live with. Live with that memory. What else? Whether you did it or somebody else did it.
I succumbed to a crack addiction and I gave up, my children. Basically just wasn't a father at all. The three boys that are now young men.
Gave into a crack addiction and gave up my sons. In the past, in your past, the most traumatic thing that happened that keeps you trapped in your past. Either you did or somebody else did. Found out that an ex-husband was molesting the children. From our past, what is our pain? What's the problem with our past? Where are our problems? What's keeping us trapped in our past? I didn't raise my kids right because of an addiction. Didn't set the right kind of example. Anybody else? And that works both ways. Abuse of a mate or being abused by a parent or someone connected to the family. Now here's the point of all that. Here's the point of all that. Those things happened and we can't change them. So God has got to give us some help on how to deal with those things. Because our wisdom did what with those things? What did our wisdom do? It got us into addiction. It got us into sexual immorality. It got us into jail. It got us into abuse. There's a jillion kind of things in this room alone. Not talking about what happened in the world. Just us in this room. That's what our being hurt did. Things we did to ourselves or somebody did to us. So what does God say do? What does God say do? I want to start first with things that we've done. Alright, I want you to look at Proverbs 28. Look at things that we have done. Not what somebody else did to us, but what we did. I want you to look at Proverbs 28. I want you to look at verse 13. 28. Verse 13, we've discussed it almost every week we've read God's wisdom. Because this one applies in so many areas up here on the board, it's worth noting. If you hadn't underlined it before, if you hadn't remembered it before, it's time to do it now. He who conceals his sins does not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. It's one of the reasons, folks, I decided years ago, I had you'd call him a famous preacher in that particular group of people. A famous preacher called me during all of my mess, or when all of my mess came out and my world blew up. And he said, Rex, just don't tell anybody what you did. Just don't tell anybody. And in a few months, this will blow over and everything will be okay. I found out later, that's what he had done. And it worked out good for him, quote good for him, because of his reputation. But the truth is, that's not what God says. He who confesses his sins is the one that prospers. If you conceal your sin, you do not prosper. That's why I encourage us in here. Let's go ahead and be honest about it. It's not like we're trying to impress anybody. You don't come to church over here to impress anybody, do you? Oh yes, I go to the church with stained carpet instead of stained glass. No, we don't. I go to church where you can sweat all the way through church. Yes. We do have the best chairs in the world, but that's about it, right? But you don't. That's. I encourage us to be honest about it. Folks, we need to learn to be honest about it to each other. We're not trying to impress anybody. I messed up. Did you? And if I mess up, then I've got to acknowledge that. Now, once I acknowledge it, then I've got to take the next step. Do you remember what the next step is? Look in chapter 12, 14. I always forget. Just turn that direction. We'll find it. Oh yeah, 14:9. Fools mock at making amends for sin, but goodwill is found among the upright. So what do? Once I acknowledge my sin and I renounce it. And there's two parts of that. I acknowledge my sin and renounce it. Then what do? I set about making amends. I set about trying to do what's right. Now, turn to 16. And I'm not going to do a bunch of this with you today. I don't want to wear you out. But look at verse 6. 16:6 is a verse that I've had in my mind, in my heart, over and over again for the last... Now it's been 13 years. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Now, I thank God that Jesus is the one that atoned for my sins. His death made it possible for Him to forgive all my sins. His blood keeps me forgiven. We've studied that. If you need more information about that, don't you leave here today without asking about it. But what He's saying here is, once I've acknowledged that sin, once I've renounced it, once I've said I did it and I turned my back to get away from it, then I set about to making amends to help heal the damage that I did in that sin, with that sin, and I do that by living a life that is full of faithfulness and love. Now, can I change what I did? No, you can't. You wish you could, but you can't. So all you can do is go forward, is live your life through love and faithfulness. Jared taught us this morning an excellent point. He said, if you're doing things God's way, what you're doing is your wheel is turning forward. It's turning away from the past towards your future. You're moving toward God. You're moving toward the future. Now, that's things that I've done. Confess, renounce, make amends through love and faithfulness. Now, honest, in this room there are people who are trapped in their past, not because of what they did, but because of what somebody did to them. I'm going to show you something that I don't know that you're going to hear many places. It'll be hard for some of you to hear, but it is the truth. So I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 16. Proverbs 6, verse 16. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to Him. Haughty eyes, that means arrogance. Lying tongue, that's obvious what that means. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. A false witness that pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among the brothers. Okay, now hang on. I want you to look at those seven things, and do they sound like anybody you know? I don't want a name. I don't want you to call out a name. But the person that hurt you, the person that damaged you, the person that molested or raped or abused or betrayed, that person, does it sound familiar to you? Were they arrogant? Were they deceitful? Were they conniving? Were they manipulative? Were they mean? How did God feel about what they did? Now I want you to tell me, from Proverbs 6, what does God say about what they did? I'm going to let you say it out loud. What does He say? One more time. And in here we've learned, and learned it for a long time and repeated it often, it is always right. So if God hated it, if God hates it, it is all right. Not just all right, it is required that I hate it. I'm going to let it soak in a minute. Some of you have been hurt. Some of us have been hurt by wicked, deceitful, manipulative, damning men, women, doing things that God hates. So how should we feel toward those things? We should hate them as well. Now that includes, folks, if I'm the one that did it. You understand? I'm not excusing myself. I'm saying if those traits are in me, I need to hate those too, just since God hates them. I agree with God in that matter. But if I am trapped in the past because of something that somebody did to me, and I don't know how to handle it God's way. Be angry about it. Hate what that person did, because then you're in agreement with God. Now, do you have the right to take vengeance on that person? No, God said, that's my job. Vengeance is mine, the Lord says. That's His job. But can I be angry about it? Yes, can I hate it? Now, those of you who grew up going to church like I did, you were taught, honestly, you were taught, no. We don't hate anything. Now, I understand why we teach our kids that. I understand. Because I was probably saying that I don't know what it was, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, or anything green. I hate. And my mom said, well, no, we don't hate anything. I understand what she's trying to teach me. But the truth is, are there some things I should hate? One more time. Are there some things I should hate?
Yes.
And I should agree with God in those areas. So when somebody does you damage, you have the right to be angry. You have a right to have that hatred for that thing they did to you. Do you have the right to take vengeance? No. So what do? If you've got that anger, but you can't do anything about it. You got that hate, but you don't have any, you can't do anything about it. What do? What do? You let God take care of it. Will God handle it? Yes, He will. Now, what if that person, let's play with it a second, what if that person wants to make amends? What if that person is someone you love and he wants to make amends? Say it again. You guard your heart. But what if he really wants to make amends?
Agree with God.
And what did God say to him? Don't miss this. Don't miss this. You'll see me explode. Say it again.
Whoever it is, better do it.
Exactly. It's not this old business of, I'm sorry, you got to love me. No. I'm sorry, you got to take me back. No. No. I'm sorry, you got to trust me again. No. Confess and say it. Confess and renounce, and then make amends through love and faithfulness. So if I'm the person that did the damage, I can't be going, I'm sorry. A few tears doesn't mean that the damage is fixed. They may be forgiven by God, but they got some damage to heal, right? So you understand what I'm saying? There are things that are done that we have done to ourselves or to others that we've got to handle God's way. The same thing is true when people have done us damage. And that's trapped us in the past, kept us stirred up, kept us depressed, kept us feeling unworthy, kept us feeling down, kept us feeling unloved by God. We got to let God process that, get rid of that. We hate what God hates, love what God loves. And if somebody wants to make amends, they will confess and renounce, and they will make amends by love and faithfulness. Now, where'd you get that? Where'd you get that? That's God's way of doing things, right? If I can ever get past my past, then I look to the future. I can see some good stuff possible. Go to 16. Proverbs 16. Now, we're not at 16 yet. I want you to get to 16 and stop, but I don't want you turning to this one. If you're visiting and you need to turn, you're allowed. But if you had a donut, sorry. Okay? It's a verse that has been mentioned every time we've studied Proverbs, every time. This summer, I think every meeting, we've mentioned this verse. When I start looking at my future, when I start repairing my past and preparing my future, there are some things that I should not do. I'm going to start it, you finish. I'm going to trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all my heart. That's positive. And say, lean not on my own understanding. Where'd your understanding get you? honest. Where'd your understanding get you? Trapped in the past. Where'd your and let's be real specific, real quick. Where did your understanding get you?
Rehab.
Where'd your understanding get you?
Divorced.
Where'd your understanding get you?
Loneliness.
Where'd your understanding get you? Pregnant and alone. Where'd your understanding get you?
Turning my back on God.
Where'd your understanding get you?
Raising my daughter without a father.
Raising a daughter without a father. Where'd your understanding get you?
Lost family's trust.
Where'd your understanding get you?
3 or 4 a.m. still chasing a high score.
Yeah. Where'd your understanding get you? We could keep filling the air. There's no need to. We made the point. You want to go back there? You want to go back to that loneliness? You want to go back to the prison? You want to go back to the rehab? You want to go back to the addiction? You want to go back to that lack of trust? You want to go back to that? No, I don't. Now, if I'll tell you like I tell my boys in jail. It is your life. You can choose how you want to live it. You can choose how you want to live it. And if you want to go back to it, that's your call. And when you choose it and you face the consequences for it, you got to be man enough to take them. But if you don't want that, don't go that way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Keep reading. What's the positive? Say it.
In all your ways acknowledge Him.
And the promise is, what will He do? He will keep your path straight. You want your wheel to be rolling down the road and not get lost, not get distracted, not get run over. You stay on the straight path. That's the promise of God. My future is secure if I'm acknowledging God in all my ways. Last thing we'll say about that, and then we're going to be in 16. And you did good. You knew that verse. We acknowledge God in all our ways means with my family, I acknowledge God. We're going to be honest for a second. It is good to sit in here. It is good to talk God's Word in here. It's good to sing these songs we're about to sing. It's good to remember Jesus and His death when we eat this bread and drink this little cup. That's a good thing to do. But if that's all you do, and then you go home and you talk to your wife like she's not made in the image of God, or you treat your husband like he's not a gift from God, or you treat your children like they're not what God intended them to be for you, or you don't respect your parents like God wants you. You see where I'm going with this? It's one thing to sit in here and do it. It's another thing to acknowledge God in every way. At home, and with your friends. Now, sometimes when my mama's around, man, when my mom's around, I acting right. But when I'm with my friends, well, then I just kind of got to relax. Don't you dare relax. You keep acknowledging God with your friends. You acknowledge God in getting up and going to work and paying your bills. You acknowledge God. When that driver cuts you off in traffic, you don't react with that little special wave of yours. No. You acknowledge God in all your ways, and He will make your path straight. Now 16. Look at verse 3. 16:3. Got it? Some of you who have big plans for the future need to write this verse down, because this is significant. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. Kids, are you going to school? Then commit to the Lord to be a student the way He wants you to be a student. You're going to be teaching kids at the school? Commit to the Lord to be the kind of teacher that the Lord would want you to be. You're going to be an employee. You're going to be a boss. You're going to be a husband. You're going to be a wife. You're going to be a brother or a sister. You're going to be a son or a daughter. You're going to be a driver on the streets, or you're going to be a passenger in the car. Commit whatever you do to the Lord. Do it the way God wants you to do it. And your plans, I didn't write it. What does it say? And your plans will
succeed.
He will establish your plans. Your plans will succeed. You want success? then what you do, do because you're doing it for the Lord. All right, last one, and I'll hush. Verse 9. Verse 9. In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. So I commit myself to the Lord, and then I trust the Lord to do what? Direct me. Now, here's what we've done, and I love you, but I know you. Some of you have done this. Well, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do, so I'm just going to sit here till the Lord lets me know what I'm supposed to do. Are you kidding me? Do you not have any idea what the Lord wants you to do? What does the Lord want you to do? The Lord wants you to get up in the morning, get yourself ready, get yourself dressed, and take care of your responsibilities. And if that means going to a job, go to a job. If that means making sure the kids are ready for school, get them ready for school. If that means being to school early so you can teach these little heathens that are coming, you get to school early and get ready to teach the little darlings when they come to class. Whatever God gives you to do that day, you do. You commit whatever you're going to do today. Man, I'm going to get up in the morning, I'm going to clean up, I'm going to get in my car, and I'm going to drive to post, so I'm going to respect the speed limit because that's the way God would want me to do. I'm not going to zigzag out of traffic and cause people to wave at me with that little special wave. I'm not going to be waving at anybody with that special wave. I'm going to get to work. I'm going to walk in there in that little jail and thanking God that I get to go home at the end of the day instead of stay, and I'm going to do my job. I'm going to take care of my responsibilities, and guess what will happen? My work will succeed because God promised it. So I'll plan my day, but I'll let God determine how it comes out. I'll let Him direct my steps. But you don't sit and wait for God to show you. You get up and take care of your business that's right in front of you. That's when He causes your plans to succeed. Make sense? Forget the past. I hate what I did, and I hate what others have done to you. But it's okay to hate what God hates, love what God loves. If you need to confess it, if you need to renounce it, if you need to make amends for it through love and faithfulness, let's get to it. But instead of worrying about your past, let's think about our future. Let God handle that and let Him direct our steps to the future. All right. And the absolute best news of the whole day is we're about to eat a little piece of bread and drink a little bit of fruit of the vine. And it reminds everybody that's followed Jesus for very long, and it reminds us that Jesus died so we could live, and He lives now so we can live with Him later. So, guys, our past is forgiven. Our past is forgotten. And if it's something that someone was done to us, God will handle that too. We don't have to worry about it. We can turn our back on the past and we can focus on our future, knowing that our plans will succeed. So while you're eating this bread and while you're drinking this cup, offer your plans to the Lord. Whatever they are, offer your plans to the Lord. His way. How are you going to live your life today? How are you going to treat your family today? How are you going to treat your responsibilities today? How are you going to treat your world today? And let Him direct your steps.